The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Well, welcome to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude, and Wendell. We've got a very special guest coming in today. The Premier of New South Wales coming in.
Dominic Perrottet's coming in, is he?
After 5 o'clock. Right. And I just didn't expect a show of our calibre would have the Premier coming in.
Well, people like our show, mate.
I know, but I reckon they like it, but I don't know whether or not they want to necessarily come on our show to talk about politics and stuff, whether or not they'd feel that our listeners would care.
Yeah, but I think we need to show some balance. You had Chris Minns in here a week or so ago.
Minzy!
He's your man. He's your man, Gussie. That's
look
right.
He's my man if he wins on Saturday. Otherwise,
he goes
big
with the winning
my
horse.
Man. Yeah. Hey, don't worry. I'll pick whatever horse is in charge Saturday night.
Hey, I know how you feel, mate. Up the Roosters, mate. Yeah.
You're on the chooks. He's got a Roosters hat
for
on.
People, thank you.
What?
Why have you got a Roosters hat on? You're a Bronco, Dragon...
Queensland
Dolphin,
Red.
Dolphin.
Okay.
Waratah.
Waratah for 5 minutes.
Well, because I used to live in the eastern suburbs, and now that I'm back in Sydney, I went over there on the weekend with a friend and the Clove Valley, and I just felt like I belong back in eastern suburbs. So,
did the Roosters ever offer you to come? You would have been a great Rooster.
Yeah, Chris Anderson spoke about signing me, but then he got the sack. When I was out of the game. But then when I was younger, they did approach me through Arthur Beetson. So
there you go. You were a good choice.
Sydney would have been no good for me, mate.
As was proven with the Waratahs. Shambolic decision.
Eastern suburbs for Dell. No.
What about Minzy? He laughs off the electric vehicle campaign. Bus that he's on, it broke down. If you fire it up properly, it goes for 300 clicks, right?
So he didn't charge it?
Well, he didn't charge it correctly because he did 67 of the 300 clicks and it broke down out by the dam, by the Warragamba Dam, and they had to switch it over from the electric bus to the petrol bus.
That's embarrassing.
Now, that is embarrassing 4 days out. I just checked the odds with Bluebet on the on this election. He's $1.16, Labor. $6 the coalition.
Jeez. Wow.
I had no idea that it was such a huge favourite, but you wouldn't want to keep doing stuff like this.
No way.
It gives people ammunition, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does it show us our infrastructure's not right, that there's not enough charging stations around? He should be pulling the bus in and being able to give it some juice.
He also should have perhaps overnight made sure the connection was correct as well. But anyway, Minzy, we'll love you if you win. If not, the big Dom that's coming in after 5 o'clock will be loving him.
Yeah, coming up next. That's how he floats.
Oh, don't worry,
you're a fair weather friend, aren't you?
I sure are. Time now for this.
Because it's Tealess Tuesday. Finding out who starts and who doesn't in the context of sports.
I love that opener.
It's a good opener.
Sounds like Johnny Denver, doesn't it? Absolutely does. And let's start the ball rolling. Obviously, round four coming around. We've got Thursday night, the Eels and the Panthers. Last year, the Eels beat them a couple of times, but the Eels are 0-3. They have got a bloke back, though, Jude.
Yeah, Ryan Madison is back from his grand final suspension. Be a welcome addition to the Eels, Del. How do you reckon they're going to go?
Mate, this is going to be a good game. The Eels aren't playing bad at the moment, but as you know, Jude, once you haven't won a game for a couple of weeks, it starts to become a habit, you know, like anything. But look, they're not far away. Do I think they can beat Penrith? I think they can. I know people will go, oh, mate, don't forget last year.
Everyone said that last year too, and they beat them twice.
I know, and this is what I'm saying. The Panthers are playing good football, but I do feel sorry for Parramatta a little bit because the teams that they're playing, they come off byes, so they're fresh. So, look, they're a chance this week, a big chance of winning this game, but the Panthers, they're such a good side, but they're not the same Panthers side within the last couple of years because of the players that have moved on.
The early game, Storm versus West Tigers, star playmaker Cam Munster returns from that two-game with a finger injury.
You can imagine he would not have returned if they had started the season the way that they normally start a season. Is this a little bit desperate?
I think it's a little bit desperate, but he's such a competitor, Cam Munster, and Craig Bellamy knows, like, I've got no Jerome Hughes, we need Munster. Munster's a superstar. He's my favourite player in the game. I'm telling you now, the Tigers, I don't think can beat the Storm.
Do you like the Adam Dewey shift from 5'8 to fullback?
Look, Adam Dewey is a quality player. He can play anywhere. He's a great utility. I just think at the moment, big body, strong, he's competitive. I don't mind it at all. But this is going to be good for the Tigers because they need a big body and because Melbourne Storm are quite physical as well.
Dolphins, Broncos, big Queensland derby. You've got Kevvy Walters named the same 17-man squad, but then Felice Kaufusi's been named pending the trip to trip to the judiciary.
Yeah, look.
It's easy for you to say. as if he's going to get off.
Well, he might. Remember Suoliti, he didn't get suspended?
They showed that on NRL 360, just the similar tackles, but...
It was Chance Nickel Cockstat that he had the sort of late shot on. This is different. I love Kaufusi, good player, but can I tell you, if we're going to protect the players, he's going to have to do a couple of weeks.
Chance is back for the Warriors against the Bulldogs.
Yes.
And Cameron Seldra has the luxury of naming the same 17 that got the job done against the Tigers.
How important is that, boys, in AFL and rugby league to just have the same team week in, week out?
Honestly, you want to build that synergy and chemistry with, you want to know who's left and right of you and how they're playing. If you can keep a settled lineup, it's so important.
Mate, and that's, you ask us, remember when the Roosters were going good for so long, you didn't have too many injuries, but the last couple of years, you guys have been decimated with injuries and stuff, and then young players coming in, and then obviously players moving on. But once you keep that consistent team, that's when the really good sides in any sort of form, whether it's cricket, rugby league, AFL or whatever, that's when they put it all together.
Seagulls, Seabold's also named the same squad. So he's got the same squad there. But the Rabbitohs have some injuries. They've got Hammy Selle, who filed the HIA last week. So he's under the new mandatory 11-day stand down. And Jason Dimitro's been dealt with more blows in the forward stocks. Shaq Mitchell has suffered a foot injury, and Damien Cook revealed Tevita Totola is out for a couple of weeks with a knee issue. So,
this is going to be, because, mate, the Bunnies will know last week that was one that they got away. They had a chance to win that game. But I've got to tell you now, this is going to be spicy, this game. So don't forget, obviously, Seabowl probably didn't leave the Bunnies, probably on great terms. But Dimitrio and him, you know, and don't forget, after the passing of Sattler, there'll be a lot of emotion in and around this game. So this is going to be a tight one. I'm leaning towards Manly because of those injuries, not because I'm biased with Seabold, mate.
He's always tipped Manly since Seabold's gone there.
No,
no credibility when it comes to Manly, mate.
I promise you, I will tip against them. If they're playing the Broncos and I don't think they can win, I'll tip against them.
Sharks, we'll Dragons, huge in for Cronulla. Nico Hines back.
Yeah, Nico Hines, that's a big in. Like, and I want the Dragons to win this game. They're too erratic at the moment. They're too hot and cold. I think with Nico Hines back, I think the Sharks can win this one. But as I said before, throw the form guide at the local derby, because no matter who's playing good and bad, it's always spicy. They just, the Dragons and the Sharks are playing in this. There's a nice hatred and a competitive nature there.
Nico is back. Munster is back. A couple of superstars back for round four of the NRL. Of course, we'll have all the updates of all the teams before they start playing on Thursday night footy. How many times have you been married? And I've got to say, media tycoon Rupert Murdoch, give yourself an uppercut. He's announced his engagement to his partner, Anne Leslie Smith, a former police chaplain. Murdoch's 92, Miss Smith 66. They met in September at an event at his vineyard in California. She used to be a businesswoman. She says she speaks the same language as him.
Yeah.
He only a year ago got
English.
Rid of his fourth...
English.
Hey?
English.
Is that no, what... sort of business language, you know what I mean? Okay. Like, they can talk on all different levels, Jude.
Oh.
For both of it's a gift from God, she says. We met in September. She told the New York Post, I'm a widow of 14 years like Rupert. My husband was a businessman, so I speak Rupert's language. We share the same beliefs.
Didn't he just break up with Jerry Hall?
Yeah. Just over a year ago, that was split from his fourth wife. Like, at some stage, Rupert... You've got to say, brother, that it might be you that's not very good at marriage. Like, the first, if you marry someone, you get divorced, you go, you know what?
Yeah.
You picked the wrong one. It can happen. Second one, you can be a little unlucky. The third one, you're the one constant that happened in all three, mate. It might be your drama.
No.
Fourth, and now he's going for his fifth. He's 92. He's going to be weekend at Bernie's before you know it.
Mate,
he needs to understand a little bit of, like, he's got that much dough. Just bring in whoever you want for a little bit of loving when you need. You don't need to get married.
Gussie, the word I'd use is he's the common denominator there. That's the word you're looking at, mate.
Thank you. Okay. Exactly. I think everyone understood that.
I'm just thinking, 92, surely you realise it's just a piece of paper by then. Like, you just go, do we really need to? We're lifelong partners now and...
Marriage is hard work. You've got to be a team. Like, I had a good mate at the Wallabies. I won't say his name. He gave me some advice when playing golf one time. He goes, mate, happy wife, happy life. I won't say his name, but he's now divorced. And and then we laugh about that.
Mate, I'm on my second wedding ring, but same wife. But I had a mate who was best man three times for one of our other mates. And he literally got down, he couldn't get down the aisle twice, and finally for the third time, my mate got up there as best man and goes, I've had this speech ready for 6 years. I just cut and paste the
no. I'm about to be best man for the bloke for the third time. And I said to him, we've got heaps of mates, you've got a couple of brothers. I don't think I'm your man. I'm not your lucky charm, mate. Because he's had two blow ups with the ones that I've done. Plus, you've got to come up with a different speech all the time. And
are you trying to get too close to them or not?
No.
You're a good wingman.
I was back in the day. 1-3-3-5-3. Give us a call. How many times have you been married? How many times you've been divorced? How many times you've been engaged? Well, they're the type of chats we want.
For you.
How many times you've been married? How many times you've been divorced? How many times you've been engaged? Plenty of people get engaged in the end, give the bloke the flick or give the lady the flick.
Rupert Murdoch.
He's set to marry for the fifth time. He's 92. He's marrying Ms. Smith, who's 66. She was widowed 14 years ago. So, you know, it's fair enough spell, isn't it?
Yeah.
At 14 years without the love of her life, and now she's going to absolutely clean up, you'd imagine, with Rupert at 92. Could happen on the wedding night.
It might be love, boys. It might be love.
Exactly.
It comes in mysterious ways. Mark from Bilgola Plateau, how many times are you married, brother?
It's not me, fellas. It's my my mate, and I won't name him.
Okay.
Basically, first marriage was all good, but, you know, he kind of played up a little and it finished. Ooh. Second one, and he was the common denominator, Gus. second marriage, I was not very popular when I had... said I had previous experience at this speech and almost used the same notes as last time.
Oh, wow.
Third marriage I wasn't invited to.
Good. You've gone from best man to brush. Good on you, Mark. What about Sid in Bankstown? How many times are you married, brother?
Good, mate. It's my friend of mine. Again, I won't name him, but here's the situation. So he's married twice and both living with his two wives at the same time.
Hang on, he's living with both of them.
Oh, honestly.
So here it is, the background. So in the Muslim tradition, you're allowed to marry up to four wives, in case you didn't know.
He's
married two at the same time, and I don't know, he must have a rotating roster every night. I'm not sure how he does it, but yeah.
rotating roster.
Wow.
So look, the first wife, obviously, he told her, and she's approved of that. She's happy. They're good friends, and they get along. So, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow.
There's a whole lot of questions there, Sid, but I don't want to disrespect.
Yeah,
no,
that's right.
Exactly.
But you know what? Surely no one can top that. But Michael, what about you? How many times have you been married?
Four times, there you go.
Wow.
Michael, at what point did you realise, Michael, you're not very good at it?
No. I believe that that was love at first sight. There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
I love your show, fellas.
Thanks, mate.
Fantastic, yeah.
But, mate, four times love at first sight.
We do it every 10 years. The last time that we done it was on a boat.
Same lady.
Oh, got you. Sorry, mate.
I thought it was four different marriages.
Yeah,
sorry, fellas.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Same lady.
This is just true love. That's renewing and committing, recommitting.
And the first three we done at our same church that we got married at.
Oh, that's lovely, Michael.
Mate, love of my life.
Very good, mate.
Hey, Michael, why don't you get yourself a Rush Hour merch pack, trackies, key ring, and stubby holder.
Beautiful.
Oh, you know what?
That's nearly as good as getting married again,
mate,
isn't it?
You know what? Well done, mate.
Let's go to Gary. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, how are you, legends?
Not too bad, mate. Welcome to the Rush Hour. How many times have you been married?
Yeah, look, I'd love to be able to blame this one on a mate, but unfortunately this one's all me. now, I'm sort of kicking all goals at the moment because I'm currently in the middle of my third divorce, but I'm also engaged.
Wow. Oh, mate, stop it, mate. Honestly.
You're moving fast. Take us through, mate. How excited are you for the next one?
Well, look, you know, to keep it pretty simple, look, I originally thought I might have just been a real sucker for punishment.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, glutton for punishment, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I thought it was a sucker for punishment, but now I've sort of worked out that I'm only two ex-wives away from an indoor soccer team.
Bang! Oh, our callers are the best, aren't they?
That's brilliant.
Oh, mate.
Time now to talk to this man.
Our next guest wears his heart on his sleeve for Australian football. He's never been afraid to speak his mind and tell it how it is.
Okay, I don't like all this blaming of the players saying they're not good enough. They're good enough.
We've heard his voice on all the big moments. John Aloisi getting us to the World Cup in 05, anyone?
Yes! Australia have got it! Come on! John Aloisi! Just to be clear, he's the one losing his mind over Simon Hill.
With the Socceroos playing Ecuador this week, please welcome back to the Rush Hour, it's Craig Foster.
Yeah, he's an absolute ripper. G'day, Fozzie. Welcome to the show again, brother.
How you guys doing?
Mate, we're fantastic. Thank you so much to talk about, obviously, in the game of, well, the game of sports at the moment, but let's focus on the UEFA Champions League, the UEFA Europe League, the UEFA Europe Conference League. There's so much going on Stan Sport, brother.
Ah, huge. We've got all of the European club football, which obviously is the best in the world, best competitions. Champions League's just been amazing this season. Some of the top clubs are bid off, which makes it really interesting. You've got some fantastic clubs coming up from below, particularly the Italians, for example. You know, they've got three Italian teams through now to the quarterfinals, which is pretty amazing. It hasn't happened since 2005.
And Napoli are currently 19 points ahead in Italy. Can they go all the way in the Champions League?
Yeah, they can, definitely. We haven't had a real upset for quite some years. You know, they're outside of the big, you know, the bigger clubs, you know, AC Milan or Inter, Bayern. And
Liverpool.
And,
exactly. Your Liverpool Blues. Did win it a few years ago.
They were going great until a couple of weeks ago, or maybe this season. But, but Napoli, amazing. First time the quarterfinal, even when Maradona was there back in the mid-'80s. You know, they didn't do that. So their coach is doing an amazing job, Spalletti, and they've got a phenomenal team. So they could be the first upset that we've seen for a while. I kind of hope so because they're great to watch.
Foz, I've got to ask you, mate. A lot of my friends, people are buzzing about it. What about Arsenal, mate? What about Arsenal, the Gunners?
8 points clear, the Gunners.
Oh, great. They are so brilliant. I know. I just love what he's doing there, Arteta. And it shows, you know, a bit of patience as well. Last season he was really struggling. But the key moment, guys, is when he got rid of Aubameyang. You know, and it was very similar to what Ten Hag had to do earlier this season with Cristiano Ronaldo. And there's those moments, isn't there, for coaches in all sports where it's like, okay, that you know, you've got to somehow exert your authority and, you know, you've got to stand up for what it is that you're telling the players, telling the public and otherwise. And Aubameyang was a fantastic player, scoring a lot of goals from last season, but he was playing up a bit. And Arteta said, no, sorry, I know you all love him. He's an amazing player, but he has to go. He doesn't fit with the group. And he's not a good role model for our young players coming through. A following season, look what he's doing. But not just winning, playing fantastic football. I think along with Napoli, comfortably the two best football teams in Europe.
Yeah, it's real leadership, showing some vulnerability there. The video came out this week of him standing in front of the group talking about that, saying, we've made the decision, he's not a part of this group anymore.
Right.
The faces were incredible.
Odegaard and Zinchenko, sensational.
No, they have been going well. All right, mate, God, you're excited about us. We're going to get run down by Man City, and you know why? Because they've got a bloke called Haaland at the top there who's scoring goals for fun. He came out this week, Foz, and said, I was bought to win the Champions League. They've won everything else. The Champions League's the Holy Grail, and that's... I just love that honesty, you know. He's put it all the eggs into one basket. Even if they come second and win some other cups, if they don't win the Champions League, it'll be a failure.
Well, I think that's right. He might be saying that because it looks like they're probably going to lose the Premier League. I don't know.
Okay.
The Gunners are going well. I've got to say with the Gunners, I didn't mention as well, they went out of the Europa League. That's actually how strong the Europa League is this season. It's a second tier comp. And Sporting Club of Portugal, used to be called Sporting Lisbon, they beat them last week on penalties. It was 3-3 over the two legs. What absolutely fantastic games. And the Portuguese club played almost the equal of football. So that was magnificent. Man City, look, you know, when you can go and get by far the most prolific, most skilled, most talented goal scorer that we've seen in a number of generations and added onto the top of the group they've already got with Bernardo Silva, of course, Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden hasn't even been getting time.
Yeah.
You know, you got Jack Grealish, who cost £100 million, who now is having a brilliant season. And now you put that goal scorer in at the top. I mean, it was always going to have to work because you've also got one of, if not the finest coach in the world, Pep Guardiola, in control. So he knows how to integrate him in the team. He knows exactly what he wants from him. He knows exactly why he signed him. And we're just starting to get a glimpse of that now. But, you know, 7-0s and 6-0s and 5-0s and 6-1s are fine for Man City, but I'm not too sure they're healthy for football more broadly.
No, good point, Foz. Well, if you want to watch every single match of the UEFA Champions League, Europa League, Europa Conference League on Stan Sport, start your 7-day free trial. Visit stan.com.au/football. Love you and Bozza. Love all the fun that you guys get up to.
Yeah,
enjoy your early mornings, mate, and we look forward to talking to you again, brother.
So much football coming our way. It's awesome.
Good on you.
Always a pleasure to chat.
Let's talk some AFL.
While a loyal Jude gives us his locker room chat this week.
With everything from
produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's.
Yeah, we saw suspensions for Cozzy Pickett and Buddy Franklin. Yeah. Is the pump now dead?
Is the bump dead? Well, yeah, well, Shane
McAdam. They were lucky, by the way.
They were both lucky. Two weeks for Cozzy Pickett and one for Buddy Franklin, both, you know, pretty solid hits. And then Shane McAdam's actually going to, from Adelaide, is going directly to the tribunal tonight for a huge hit on the GWS player, Jacob Weir. So
when I saw that live, I thought,
he folded him in half.
That's a month, isn't it?
And this is where you sort of look at some of the actions that the players have been putting themselves in, and they shouldn't be trying to do these front-on bumps.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you've got to look for other football actions. Is it a tackle? Is it a smother? Is there other ways to contest the footy? Because, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. You're putting, you know, chance of suspension. And I think they were very lucky to get, Cozzy Pickett got 2 weeks, Buddy got one. I would have thought maybe three and two. Mm-hmm. And we'll wait and see what Shane McAdam gets. It could be three or more tonight.
Mate, you know, the Collingwood champion, Scott Pendlebury, I saw an interview, I think it was on, you know, social media.
Yeah,
he was talking about, you know, suspensions and stuff. What do you think about the rule?
Yeah, like you actually spoke around, is there a potential to use a send-off rule rugby league? And I don't think it would work in AFL as
Why
much.
Why not?
Just purely on the integrity. You have to stop the game to assess that. You have to make the umpires are under incredible pressure at the moment.
There's about 10 of them out there.
I know. There's four out there for this year. It stops the game. You have to really make that judgment of, is this – a send-off rule
send
or not.
Send it upstairs, mate.
Yeah.
You know the rules. They
always get it right in the bunker. I know that. Like, yeah. I just think let's make sure we suspend them appropriately. If that means throw there's a little matrix that they use. Is this severe contact? Was it intentional? That sort of stuff. If it doesn't look right, if it doesn't pass the pub test, go straight to the tribunal and let's work it out properly.
So what you're saying is, stop changing the fabric of the game. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, what about the Swannies? They look slick. First home game this week against a young Hawthorn, and I'm a Hawthorn fan. Everyone's telling us it's going to be a very, very tough year. You'd imagine the Swannies will get it done.
They should get it done. They looked really sharp against the Gold Coast Suns. I thought just in wet weather almost conditions, it was so slippery on the Gold Coast, but they look sharp. And for me, it's almost like they've erased the grand final. That's done and dusted. It's time to create new memories and focus on this
year.
Nice
soft start for them to do that, though.
That's exactly right. And they've got the Hawks, as we mentioned. So, you know, they could be 2-0, looking really sharp. So it's a chance for them to just move on.
Oh, mate, come on. What about GWS, mate? Oh, mate, what a gutsy win.
It was huge for Adam Kingsley. First game as head coach, and they lost Harry Perryman in early stages of the game, and then they had other guys off for HIAs and the like. So this was gutsy. They were down to one on the bench in the 35-degree heat, and they stood up. I thought the Crows were going to run over the top of them, but they really were terrific. So that's something they can really draw on from this the rest of the season.
Whatever he said at halftime was magical, because they were down by about 20 points. With everything from produce to general goods and so much more, you're sure to find a bargain at Paddy's. Paddy's Marcus, thanks for all your support. Welcome to a big second hour of the show, Gus, Jen and Wendell. I think I had a mini stroke when I said g'day then.
Oh, mate, you're a bit tired. It's understandable.
We've got NRL news coming up in a bit. We've got the Premier. He's just about to come in. There's security guards everywhere in the Triple M dugout here, just sort of checking out to make sure
they're
sweeping everything. Hey. The only thing they'll find here is Maccas and
lollies,
booze.
Don't look in Dell's desk.
You know what I thought was out there?
I know. We told you to clear that stuff out.
You know what I thought was out there before?
What?
Kevin Costner, the bodyguard, Frank Farmer. Frank, see the bloke up there? He's got the suit and that on.
So the Premier's going to come in.
Great foot.
There's no doubt the Premier would be ready for some really hard-hitting questions from us when it comes to politics.
Oh, we love our politics.
We're also going to do Two Strong Hearts with a big fella. And also, just near the end of the show, Dell's concussion chat. But I know, Jude, you're going to get involved in it as well. It's probably the biggest, hottest topic around contact sport at the moment in Australia. But what about this? When you were at school, guys, did you have a demountable at all?
Always, yeah. There was like lots around back in the day. Like my mum and dad were primary school teachers in public school system, so spent a lot of time around the demountables and stuff like that.
There's 5,000 demountable classrooms in New South Wales public schools.
Wow.
What? 5,000. One of the demountables have been in place for 40 years.
But they served a purpose as you were transitioning and hopefully getting a bit more investment.
Well, I think what they've done is that they whack them in there and they sort of works and they go, okay, we may as well just sort of stick with it. Carlingford West Public School has the highest number of demandables. They've got 81.
Mate,
it's a big school, isn't it? Riverbank Public, Castle Hill High, Chatswood High, Kirrawen Public and Ponds High round up the top six with between 44 and 52 demandables. And there's nearly 5,100, as I said, in the state system.
Our kids deserve more than that.
Right?
Is it really that bad being in a demand? I know my kids at Motor Vale.
Yes, it is, mate.
We're in those.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
Last week, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You're right.
But last week, those football boys played in like 36 degree heat at like 9 o'clock at night. Imagine those poor kids. I know there's air conditioning in some of them. Some of them got air conditioning in it.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to listen and to learn when you're that sort of hot. But anyway, obviously a topic that I imagine that we can bring up with the Premier, and certainly smarter blokes than us would be dealing with that, hopefully, in the education department as well.
But that's where you hope the budget sort of stuff goes towards. All our kids and the future.
Yeah, absolutely right. Time to talk some footy. Yeah, picking up a few of the points that are going around rugby league at the moment. Let's start the ball rolling, Jude.
Yeah, Tigers reshuffle against the Storm. We spoke in Teamless Tuesday about Adam Dewey moving to fullback. Brandon Wakeham takes the number six, Dell, but Charlie Staines goes to the wing and Noah Faluma to the bench. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think it's, look, they've got to try something. I know they're close. Mate, I'm not sure about Nofaluma on the bench.
He's a scorer.
I know he can play wing and a bit of centre. He's a utility. I think it's a waste of an interchange player there. But Charlie Staines on the wing, he's a good finisher. Adam Dewey's a big one for me. Adam Dewey, obviously big body. They want to change it up a bit. He's such a competitor, but also Wakeham. So he's gonna add a little bit of X factor there.
Well, he came off the bench really well, didn't he? And he had to start after what he did in that second half.
Well, he sparked them, and we know that they can score some points the Tigers, but I think their problem is the defence, and we know that.
Isaiah Papali'i is back as well, and Dane Laurie goes to the bench after coming back from that knee.
See, that's what I mean. You're carrying Dane Laurie and Nofaluma. Doesn't make sense.
Yep. Changes at the Dolphins potentially with Isaiah Katoa in doubt. The rookie number six has an elbow injury.
Yeah, mate, he's been so consistent, and we said at the start of the year, you know, this kid, Penrith wanted to keep him, you know, but you can't keep everyone. Mm. Anthony Milford on big money there. Milford, if he gets his chance, he's going to step up, and this is what Anthony Milford needs. They need Katoa to play, but if Milford gets an opportunity, this is the pressure cooker now, you know, playing against his old club. You know, Wayne Bennett's backed him, and when Wayne Bennett backs you, you don't want to let him down, so it might need the kick up the you-know-what that he needed.
Now, Mitch Moses has been fined for the hair pulling. $750. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think
whose hair did he pull? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think who he pulled. I forgot who he pulled.
Is it a deterrent though? $750.
Yeah, sorry, boys.
Is it a deterrent or not?
No, of course it's not. But like, I've seen some.
I don't like it. Like, it's not
a
great look.
But a lot of the boys have got the dreadlocks and they have got the long hair.
You still don't pull it though.
Not deliberate, right? Sometimes,
pardon?
Maybe. Is it deliberate? Him doing it?
Oh, I don't think so, but this is what happens. Mate, I remember it happened a lot to Lottie Keary. Yeah. He got his hair pulled, I think, by Jared Rio Hargaves or
what
someone
about you
like
back
that.
In the day, you pulled, I'm trying to remember now.
It was an accident. It was Jason Moody. Yeah.
Para.
Yeah, but Brad Thorne had a go at him, and he was leaping up. So when he was on the ground.
Yeah, but then you smashed his face into the ground, then you pulled his hair.
Yeah, I just want to let him know that I was there.
Did
to
you
help
get
him
fined
out.
Back in the day?
No, mate. No, there's no, mate. You know, I was a bit of Teflon Don.
Teflon Don.
Yeah.
You were until you went to Union.
Yeah. And I was still Teflon Don until I got suspended.
And everything stuck in.
Beat it, boys. We all know I got in trouble there a couple of times.
Okay, move on.
Time to talk to this man.
Our next guest is an amazing man. He's the Premier of New South Wales, has 7 kids, and yet his top priority is bringing cashless gaming cards for pokies to pubs and clubs in New South Wales. I'm not bagging him. It's a great thing to do. I'm just amazed that I'm not reading that he's trying to bring down the prices of Tarago vans or make industrial freezers for the home easily attainable. They must be great kids. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, the 46th Premier of New South Wales. It's Dominic Perrottet.
Yeah, welcome, Premier. How are you? It's a very busy week for you.
Thanks, Gus.
Hey, really nice to see you, mate. Of course, a lot of pressure on you this week. There's a lot of, you know, only a few more sleeps to go. How are you feeling?
Feeling good. It's a great privilege being in this job, and to get out and see so many people across New South Wales and see all the wonderful things that people do is pretty inspiring. And I've certainly seen that at the time of being in this job, and particularly during the floods, when you see just the selflessness and spirit of so many people across New South Wales going from, you know, the northern beaches all the way up to the northern rivers just to help out and lend a hand. It's a great job when you see the best of the Australians when you're Premier in New South Wales.
Dominic, all of our listeners are sort of sitting there battling with cost of energy prices, cost of living across New South Wales. What do you intend to do over this next period?
So we've got a range of policies in place. First one is $250 off every single energy bill in New South Wales. But that also helps our families as well. Back to school vouchers, active kids, which I was really passionate about when I was treasurer, getting kids in a sport for the very first time. And just on that, I met so many young kids who wouldn't have been able to play sport but for those vouchers. And that's where in politics it can be incredibly rewarding, because you come up with ideas that really make a difference to people's lives. So these are the kind of policies we're going to continue with and continue to support families who are doing it tough with interest rates, rent rising, and inflation. So, these are the policies we'll continue to pursue.
Speaking of families, obviously you've got 7 kids.
Yep.
Any chance at 8? And how do you do it, mate?
Well, I think we all know how he does it.
No,
I
mean, but the energy and being Premier of obviously New South Wales, and I know your wife does a wonderful job.
Nah, she does. And look, she'd probably want it to have more. I always say I'm content and happy, but it's in these jobs as well, you just realise ultimately, guys, first and foremost, we're dads. And my kids bring out the most joy in me, and seeing them grow and develop is just a wonderful thing. So it's hard in these jobs. Like when you miss events, you know, like my son had a father and son camp the other day and it was his first one.
Wow.
And I couldn't go. So you miss those things. But, you know, it's good being young in politics. I'm 40 years old, so I've got the energy. As a young dad, they probably kept me on my toes and walk in, you know, you get attacked by the press during the day, and you walk in, you get abused by your kids at night. It's great.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel. We've got 8 kids amongst us here, boys and girls, a real mix. In fact, we've got at least 8. Who knows? There might be a few more floating around.
I had Harmony Day at my primary school today, and there was no harmonious exit out of the house for my daughter at the moment. It was like, whoa.
Those days are the worst days, though, because you're up in the morning, and it's like, oh, we've all got to wear green to school today. It's St. Patrick's Day. It's like,
okay. Well, speaking of the worst days for you, what about your Tiger supporter? I'm very sorry about that.
Mate,
what are you going to do there, mate? At least
they're consistent.
But this has been my life, Del. I mean, I started following the Tigers when I was 6.
Yeah.
And that was 1988. Lost to the Doggies in that grand final.
Yep.
Then lost to the Raiders. 1990, we got 5th.
Yes.
And got beaten by Manly in that first game. So then from 91 all the way through to 2005, we never made the finals.
I know.
And then we won.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it was so much sweeter. I was back at Balmain Leagues Club that night, went to all the finals all the way through. Losing makes winning so much better. So we've won now. So I'm just used to losing. So it's good.
Who's your favourite Tiger player of all time?
Wayne Pearce.
Yeah, how good.
Wayne Pearce.
So underrated.
I bought my parents bought me that book, Local Hero, when I was a young kid, and he's inspiration. And I've become good mates with him now over time.
Champion.
I've got to meet him, so he's a legend. Legend of the game.
He's a good bloke, Gene. It's nice when you meet your heroes and they're as nice or better than you even think. It doesn't always work out that way. What about Sydney? Just in the last month or so, the last couple of months, we felt like it's just come back to life a little bit. Yeah. You know, we just had Pride, which was wonderful, the biggest event since the Sydney 2000 games. It just seems like we've switched back on again, which is a really good thing. And I think we've proven that if you give us these big events, we will turn up and we will have a good time.
And guys, you know, during the pandemic, it was one of the, and I was treasurer for most of that, and it was one of the most difficult times. And when Sydney was pretty much closed, we'd have crisis cabinet in the morning in Homebush, and I'd come into the city and go on a run. And it was just desolate. And it was just devastating seeing so many small businesses closing. But to see today, we opened up the country and seeing so many events coming in now, people out and about and enjoying it. I think it goes, sometimes when you lose something, you really appreciate all these events so much more. So more to it. And I want Sydney to be, the events capital of the country.
Unbelievable. Well, we'd love you to hang around just for one moment, because there's a little competition we do, right? Yeah. It's called Two Strong Hearts. I did it with Minzy last week when he came in. Oh. We got 3 out of 5, I think. Was that right?
Yeah, you got 3 out of 5.
We got 3 out of 5.
Here we go.
Jude's going to run it. We'll do it after the break. The Premier of New South Wales is in the studio and we're about to play this.
stick together like the honey and the bee. You and me.
Here we go. The Premier and I, we're going to look in each other's eyes. Yeah, and we're going to come up, hopefully, with the right answers. The bloke who wants to take your job, we've got 3 out of 5 with him.
Yes.
So, Premier, you and I together, throw it over to Jude, the hostess with the mostest.
Well, Gus thinks he's the captain of the ship here, and we have captain of the ship in New South Wales at present. So let's do this. I think you just got to channel
if I'm not
each other.
Who is?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Please.
You'll get 2, I reckon.
Okay, simple game. All we're going to do is throw the categories out. You've got to look into each other's eyes. Come back with the same answer, you get a point. Here it is.
Yep.
An all-time Australian band in 3, 2, 1.
ACDC.
On the board.
Good start,
Premier.
It's not that hard, mate. We're Triple M, we're rock.
Okay, here we go.
I could have gone with Guy Sebastian, but I didn't think you'd go with it. He's not rock.
Okay, here we go. Sydney suburb, starting with the letter E in 3, 2, 1.
Epping.
I had to say that.
That's 2.
I thought you were going to
say Eastwood.
You guys are on track here for
Elizabeth
the record.
Elizabeth Bay or something like that.
Come on, out of five
world
record.
Yeah, I know.
Starting to think of that now.
Okay. Here we go. Excited.
Come on.
A brand of beer in 3, 2, 1.
VB.
Mate.
Good answer, Carlton. Mate. VB.
Did you say VB?
No, I said VB.
That's Victorian, mate. We are in Sydney.
Yeah, I know, but it's...
Oh, my goodness. Well,
I know. Okay.
Here we go.
Okay. That's on me, Premier.
No, here we should go. Have gone there. Should have gone. That was a more obvious choice.
All right, here we go. A chip flavour in 3, 2, 1.
Salt vinegar. This is for the world record.
Yeah, here we go.
Unlucky Mimsy, you're about to get beaten Saturday, brother.
To tie it.
Here it is. A former New South Wales Premier in 3, 2, 1.
Nick Greiner.
Oh,
Nick Greiner, you're going back to
Gus, that's an epic fail, mate.
I thought it was down over.
You've tripped over. God.
Premier, thanks for having a bit of fun with us.
Thank you, mate.
Really enjoyed your company and best of luck for Saturday. And, of course, all those voting booths are open already.
Yep.
I voted just the other day, so they're all open. Make sure you get there. Be a part of who's going to be running our beautiful state. And best of luck to you, Premier.
Thanks, guys.
You got my vote.
Time now to talk about something that's been very, very important, been a part of every front and back page, every TV and radio show around sport, contact sport in Australia, concussion over the last couple of weeks in particular. I wanted to get your boys' thoughts on it. Del, start the ball rolling for us, mate.
Yeah, look, I think for me, last probably couple of years, my mindset's changed. I work with a guy called James Graham. I never really played with him. My young bloke Tristan played with Jimmy down at the Dragons. Anyway, I love the way that Jimmy Graham plays, you know, tough as nails. But now my mindset's changed in the fact that there was a movie called Concussion over in America, and I haven't actually seen it, but I heard a lot about it.
Dr. Bennett Amalo, yep.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie. You got to see it.
I know. But this is the thing. This is why my mindset's changed. So now I said to people, I said to the boys, mate, when I played footy, footy gave me, you know, the lifestyle that I've got. I don't care what happens to me. I said, I know running into blokes like Gordon Tallis or Ian Roberts at, you know, 120 kilos, 110 kilos with power and origin and that, that's just part and parcel of it. You know, I've enjoyed the money. I've enjoyed the fruits of it. But now seeing what's happened to some of those guys through the 90s, obviously John Raper, what he went through, you know, it's probably close to my heart too, and seeing, you know, even yesterday we were here and we get the news about Johnny Sattler. Yeah. To be honest, boys, I didn't know he had dementia. It was so close to my heart because I know it goes with old age too sometimes, but, like, there just seems to be a lot of it now. So on a group chat the other day, there was, like, 6 or 8 blokes who group chatted me and saying, hey, mate, I need you to get scanned. And I'm going, mate, what do I need to get a scan for? And as you know, it's what are they, CTE scans or whatever?
CTE scan. But CTE scans can only happen posthumously, but they do a blood test, a PET scan.
What does that mean?
Yeah, that's
what you can only test for the brain. That's why players in the NFL were submitting their brain to the brain bank to have testing afterwards.
Oh.
But they can do blood testing that tells that whether there's elements of deterioration and
So you can't do an X-ray now to work out where your melon is.
No, you can't. I don't think you can.
No, you can't do a CTE scan.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
Is there something else like a CTE though that you can do to find out of 10 what your melon is?
I think you can do a PET scan, like so something that tells what's happening in your brain. But in terms of CTE, it's a really It's a really unknown one. And
So one of my great mates, and you guys know him, is Spud Carroll. And in the last 12 or 18 months, I used to train a bit with Spud. We played golf together, we've roomed together. And I could see the last 12, 18 months that something, he's so passionate, and we do promos together with MG, and you know what MG's like. Spud actually, he appealed to me. He said, mate, I need you to get a skin. I said, mate, I was only a winger. He said, no, mate. He goes, please. Apparently, he had his skin. There were some things that were found in his head, and that. And I was one of those people go, mate, I'm not getting skinned. But, like, next week, I'm going to get skinned. I'm not sure what they're going to find because, I don't know, my head, I've had a few head knocks. So there's a video one of the boys found of me getting knocked out. I was out for 2 minutes. Right. I was out for 2 minutes in Origin. And as I got knocked out, fractured my eye socket.
When you got that accidental knee?
No, that's when I hit Darren Lockyer's hip in Origin. It's at full speed. It's like a car accident. Like to look at it now.
Shattered your cheekbone.
Fractured my eye socket, and my eye was sinking a little bit. Oh. So as I went in the dressing room, it's Origin. So as I walked in there, I didn't know where I was, and Gordy goes, "You all right?" And I said, "Mate, yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Mate, you were sleeping on the ground for 2 minutes. And my leg was just flicking. It wasn't good. So as I got in there, the doctor, Roy Saunders, said to me, he goes, mate, you've got a fractured eye socket. I said, I don't care, mate. I'm going back out, mate, because that's what we do, mate. You know, it's a badge of honour to go
back out.
Did
you go back out there?
I went back out, and they wouldn't put me on, okay? Matt Rogers gets injured, and then I play the last 15 minutes, okay, with a fractured eye socket. And then the boys...
And the concussion.
And the concussion, yeah. And then when I came off... I don't remember getting knocked out. When I saw the video, one of the boys found it. It looks terrible. So now I've changed my mindset too, where I understand what happens, but Roy Saunders said to me, don't go back out there. And I said, no, mate, because that's what we do. That mindset's got to change now, you know?
Yeah, that badge of honour. And I was certainly in the same boat. I've lived experience with the same sort of stuff, mate, where it was like that was what our armory was.
Yes.
You know, we wanted to be known as someone who gets back up and get to your feet. And I guess that's where it has struck a chord with me, the likes of Spud Carroll saying, reaching out to the past players. We need to know what's happening with all the past players across our contact sports, what's happening in boxing, what's happening in other sports, because the more research, the more evidence we know, then we can actually help the future generations as well.
And can I appeal to fans, please? I know we love rugby league. Can we please not say the game's getting soft? The game is not soft. Can I tell you, I'm glad I don't play in this era. I've got a son at the Broncos now. You know, Tristan's about 90 kilos, and you've seen Tristan. He's quite sort of small and that. I'm telling you, he's got to tackle guys like Kikau. Kikau is bigger than me. Can I tell you, I'm going to worry about him in 20 or 30 years because I'm telling you now, they can't be good for you. So you think about Alan Langer, all the small players, your Jonathan Thurston's and that. So, mate, go out there, boys, get the skin. I'm getting the skin next week. And for the fans, we love our game, but please don't call it soft.
But I'm big on not erasing the physicality of any of our sports, just making sure that's done within the right protocols and space that we can do it. So, it's such a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah, well done, Jude. Well done, Dill. Okay. See you tomorrow, big fella.
See you tomorrow, lads.
See you later, Dill.
Thank you, guys. Love you, Gus. You're doing a great job, mate.
Thanks, mate. Get home safe, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.